Today we are continuing our series called Discovering Team Destiny. And as we look into the series today, we are talking about getting involved and what it means here at the core values of our church and some of the core values we really are spending time on. And at the first of the year, we started this series called Discovering Team Destiny. And as we have started this series, today we're going to conclude in it today. It's not that we don't have more to talk about because there's just plenty to talk about. We can talk all year about the vision and the things that God is calling us to do. But there's some things that I really wanted to cement here starting the year off that we make sure we are refocusing on, that we are really establishing. This is who God has called us to be. And we got to make sure that without vision, what happens? Perish. How many want to say that's me? Well, that's my testimony for my life. Pastor, I want to say that I'm perishing. No, you don't want to be a perishing person, do you? You don't want to say, you know what? I don't want to be that person that's dead, because without vision, people what? They perish. They die. And so it's important that we know who we are. Ain't that a good song to go along with what we're talking about today? We know who we are, and we know who God has called us to be. And God has called us to be a relational church. God has called us to get plugged into small groups and to get plugged in to use our giftings. And those are the two main things that are coming out through this series of messages has been using the gifts that God has given you and getting involved in relationships that will help you grow, that will help you be better. And I don't know about you, but I need those relationships in my life. And I do know about you. You need them too. Because we all need relationships that are going to challenge us to do better. Listen, we should never be satisfied where we're at. Let me say it again. We should never be satisfied where we're at. If I am not learning, if I am not growing, I am dying. All right. And so either I'm growing or I am dying. You know, it's either I'm increasing or I'm decreasing. There's no such thing as stagnant. There's no such thing as being still. Either you're going forward or you're giving away ground. And so I don't want to give away any ground in my life. I can't afford to do that. I can't afford to give away any ground in my life. I need to be growing daily, weekly, monthly, yearly. I need to be growing in my relationship with God, in my relationship with other people. And you are the same way. And how do I grow? I grow when I begin to focus, first of all, on my vertical relationship with God, practicing disciplines that he's asked me to do, begin to focus my attention, my priorities on the things of his word, and my relationship with him takes a new twist. I begin to say, God, I want your ways above any other way. God, I want your thoughts above any other thoughts. And I begin to change my mindset, change my spirit as I focus in on who God is. And then in return, I use my giftings that he's given every one of us at salvation and say, God, I want to use my giftings for the kingdom of God. And I use those giftings, and as I use them, I am growing. I will say this to you. The person who uses their giftings will grow 10 times faster than the person who just comes and sits in the pew. Is it impossible to grow? No, you can grow slowly as you come and listen to some great teaching by your pastor. I mean, what? You know, Brian had it right this morning. You don't want to miss. I know. That's enough said. Anyway, I know you don't want to miss. But you will grow 10 times faster when you learn to use the giftings that God has given you. And some of you don't even know you had those giftings. I can tell you there's people who are in here now who are operating, I won't call them by name, but are operating in leadership who, if I had told them a year or two years ago that they were doing what they're doing right now, they would have ran. There's no way God's going to use me to do that. There's no way I could ever do that. But because they begin to use the giftings in small tasks and begin to use their giftings and what God has called them to do, now they are blossoming, and now God is saying, you know what, I do have something more for you to do. And they're growing, and I see God just growing them so fast and God maturing them because they are learning to use their giftings. And so we have got to use the giftings that God has given us. It's important that we use them, we grow them, we develop them. And then the other thing is we got to use them to minister to other people, and we got to get involved with other people. Listen, I need you, and you need me, and you need the person next to you, and they need you. Turn to your neighbor and say, I need you. No, just tell them, I need you. I need you. That's right. You can laugh. That's all right. Go ahead. You can laugh right there. That's supposed to be funny. I had a few requests today, but I was going to sing anyway. But anyway, no, I'm just playing. I need you, and you need me, and we need each other. And we've got to learn that God has called us to need each other, that we need each other to grow, to challenge each other, to push each other. Listen, if you are not plugged in with people, they will what? You're going to be left behind. You got to be plugged in. So today, we're going to talk about another core value. In our bulletin, you see this core value of being real. And this core value of being real, we're going to talk about this today, being real. That we serve a real God. We're real people, and we serve a real God. And what am I saying by being real? That means that we have got to learn that we just got to be real. That's why we communicate the gospel in a real way. How many know the gospel should not be communicated in a way that you do not understand? The gospel is never made to be a great mystery that you cannot understand. The gospel, the word of God, was made to be very clear, very accurate, that can cut to the heart of who we are, and we can learn, and we can comprehend, and we can apply it to our everyday life, okay? And so the gospel was made to change my life and be understood. And so we're going to be real. We're going to do real music. We're going to be real people. We're going to laugh. We're going to have fun. And we're just going to be real. But in being real, we've also got to learn that we got to take off some masks in our life and learn to be real with each other. That's far too long. We've seen too many people who come into the church and are never real. How many know that there's two kinds of people in this world? Everyone's kind of bipolar, really, if you really think about it. We're all just kind of bipolar because we have this one person who goes to work, and we have another person that comes to church. Oh, don't look at me that way. You know what I'm talking about. That we have another person that lives at home, we have another person that's out in public. And why do we do that? We've learned that there's things that happen. Look what Romans 12:9 says. It says, love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. Wow, don't fake it. We got to learn to be real. Why do we wear masks in our relationships? Why do we wear masks in our relationships? What do we do that keeps us from being real? I believe that the number one reason we wear these masks and we are not really honest with each other and honest with people around us and even honest with ourselves is, that's the number one thing right here is fear. Fear keeps us. What causes us to wear a mask is fear. Fear of the unknown. Fear of being rejected. Fear of things that happen in our life. We try to hide. Genesis 3 says, I was afraid and so I hid. It started with Adam right there in the garden. They sinned and he says, I was afraid and so I hid. Fear began to creep in. Even the first man and woman, we see where they were fearful as they sinned. And they began to hide from God. God's not going to like me if he sees who I really am. God's not going to like me if he sees that I disappointed him as his son or daughter. And so we automatically begin to wear these masks. And so today I want to talk to you about some destroyers that this fear does in our life. And it destroys our relationships. It destroys our walk with God many times. And that I believe that God is calling us to walk away from our fear. God is calling us to be real and not to be afraid to say, this is who I am. This is me. This is me. Like me, love me, doesn't make a difference. This is me. This is who I am. And that's the very beginning of healthy relationships with God, the healthy relationship with your spouse, healthy relationship with others and yourself as you begin to say, this is me. And so let's talk about some of these fears we face. And I believe they really stop our relationships from going where they need to go. It's first of all, this fear of exposure. Fear of exposure keeps us from being real. Fear of exposure. That people will find out that you are really not who you say you are. That people will find out the real you. And they find out who you are. That how many know that we love to have our good points exposed, don't we? I love for people to know the good things about me. I love people to know my strengths, my accomplishments. We don't mind having those things bragged on. We don't mind talking about those things when asked, the things we accomplished, the things we're proud of. But, we don't ever like to talk about things we're fearful of, do we? We don't ever want to talk about our insecurities. We don't ever want to talk about our fears. We don't like those things brought out. It's natural. We're not made to want to do that. We want to hide those things, and we want to put a facade on who we really are. And that's not who Christ has called us to be. He's not called us to live behind a mask. He's not called us. We live behind a mask all of our life, even when we don't realize that we're walking behind a mask. I can tell you that I've lived here, and I have to make sure I don't live there. As a pastor, sometimes I can put on a mask as a pastor and say, oh, bless God, this is my pastor mask. And it can be scary. I can use that mask for a costume party. No, man, I'm just playing. Anyway. We have this mask that we put on that pretends who we are, and we're afraid to be exposed because we don't want people to know that we don't have it all together. And let me just tell you right now, let you a little secret right here. Can I just tell you this? Make sure you listen to me. None of us have it all together. really. None of us have it all together. None of us have got it all figured out. But what we are is we know this, that God has it all together. God's got it all figured out. And so if I'm honest with who I am and say, God, this is me, warts and all. God, this is me. This is it. As I'm honest, I walk in who he is. I'm not afraid to be exposed because I know who he is. I know who I am. I know that I am his and he's mine. And no matter what I go through, that he has got it under control. Even when I don't have it in control, he's got it all together. Even when I don't have it all together, I know who I am in him. 1 Corinthians 2:11 says, no one really knows what anyone else is thinking or what he is really like except that person himself. Isn't that true that no one really knows who you are? No one really knows. That's why it's so easy to hide, because really no one really knows who you are or what he's really thinking except that person himself. And I will say this to you, that even you don't know who you really are. That even you sometimes have a hard time figuring out, who am I really? Because we have lived behind this mask so long. We've been conditioned to live a certain lifestyle of saying, this is who I am. This is who I am. This is who I'm going to be. And we get like robots. Even you who think you're different because someone has shaped you to be different. And you're different so you can hide who you really are. We find it so easy in society to hide behind who we really are. And we're going to, you know what? You're not going to fully know who you really are. You're not going to fully know your neighbor until we get to heaven. There's going to come a day when we fully know each other. You know, things would be really easy if we could just do things like Spock used to do it. Remember Star Trek? You remember that growing up, Star Trek? And, you know, Spock could just put his hand on someone's mind and, you know, he knew their thoughts and emotions. I mean, what a great power, you know. Some of you think the pastors are doing that when they lay hands on them. God, what are they thinking? No, that's not what's happening. But it would be great if we could do that. If we could put our mind, hand on our mind and know everything. It doesn't work that way. And you know what? We're not going to know until we get to heaven fully what each other's, who we really are. And so it's a work in progress. And so it starts with us taking off our masks and saying, God, this is who I am. Proverbs 26:23 says this. Insecure talk that hides what you really are thinking is like a fine glaze on a cheap pot. And this is a really awesome scripture because it really talks about, you know, have you ever been in one of those expensive shops and you've seen a pottery pot maybe or a planting pot and you look at it and go, man, that thing looks heavy. You ever seen those things? They look really heavy. They look like they're made out of, you know, something marble or something very expensive. And you're like, kids, don't touch that, you know. You know, keep the kids away from that pot because if it breaks, I don't want to buy that pot, you know. I don't want to pay for that vase to be replaced. And you see all these things and you're like gardening. You're so worried about it. Then you go over and pick it up, think it's going to be heavy. And you're like, whoosh, you know, wow, no steroids or nothing. And I'm still, look how, you know, it's just so strong. Because why? Because the pot's made out of styrofoam. But they use this high gloss glaze on it and they made it look like it's really expensive. And from a long ways away, it looks really expensive. It looks like it could be really heavy and very, a lot of time went into shaping and making it. But if you really look at it, it's just styrofoam with some paint and glaze. And it's very deceptive, isn't it? You know what I'm talking about. And so for many of us here, that's kind of the way our lives are, that we can look at a certain way from a distance. But when we really get to the surface of who we are, we don't look so hot, do we? And so we're afraid of letting people know who we really are because I don't want to look like I'm in a styrofoam. I don't want to look like I'm not as expensive as I really am. And so we'll do great lengths to keep people from a far distance because if I keep them at a far distance, then they won't know that really I'm just styrofoam. If I can keep people at a far distance, they really won't know who I really am. And so we have got to learn that it's okay to expose who I am. And that comes with relationships and not being afraid to expose through Jesus Christ who you are. This is what happens in our relationship. That people see our flaws and are afraid to expose who we really are, our weaknesses. You know, it's kind of like that person on TV, you know, where maybe if you go to a concert and you see somebody, you know, you're like, wow, that person's good looking, man. They're hot and all this stuff. And then when you get up close to sign an autograph, you're like, oh, you know, you look much better from the cheap seats. You know, or you see somebody on the cover of a magazine and you're like, man, this person, if I could just have their eyes, or ladies are like, if I could just have this girl's hips right here, you know. And you don't forget they've all been airbrushed and they have spent all this time photoshopping them down and taking out all the cellulite and, you know, and it's really easy to lose weight on Photoshop. You know, it's really easy. And so, and you meet him in person, you're like, huh, there's something wrong with this picture. You don't look like, or you see him on TV when they're just out running around shopping, you're like, that's the same person I saw on the cover of this magazine. You know, it doesn't match up, does it? Because, you know, there's a facade that happens. For many of us, that's the way it is. We want to keep this facade, and that's the same way this is society, that they keep telling us this is the way to be prosperous. This is the way you live your life. You want to put a good facade on, that you have it all together, and that you are perfect, and you don't need help, and you're the person who helps other people because you got it all together. And I say, no, you don't. None of us have it all together, and that we need each other. And we need to learn to find security in relationships where we can, first of all, take off our mask with God, and then we can take off our mask with other people. And so we got to learn that we got to expose ourselves and let God see. And God already knows. You know, he already knows. Let's be honest. God already knows who we are. God already sees us. He made us. He knows everything about us. And so why do we try to walk around like God doesn't know who I am? He knows who you are, and he still loves you. Let me say it again. God knows who you are, and he still loves you. Isn't that an awesome God? Some of us, you know, we get so much in our society of living this facade. You know, we'll pad our resume, you know, to make it look better than what it really is. This is because we want to get that job, and so we got to make ourselves look better than what it is. You know, we'll put down, we're valedictorian of our class, but you won't disclose that you're homeschooled, you know, and you're the only one that graduated from your home that year. So, you know, we have this thing of padding our resumes. And, you know, we want to look better than who we really are. Why is that? Because we're in this whole thing of trying to exaggerate. You know, I was reading. I really get a kick out of this. Maybe you've done this before. I always like to pull these off once in a while, especially in a bigger city. They have these personal ads in the paper, you know. I love to see how people describe themselves when they're looking for somebody as a personal ad in the dating section. It says here, here's a lady describes herself. She says, ex-New York model, very pretty, tall, shapely, clever, educated, divorced, white professional female, 38, seeks very successful, good-looking, tall, educated, romantic, single white professional male. She says she's an ex-model from New York, and I wonder what she's modeling. You know, she could have been modeling tractors for all we know. You know, we had this. We have this thing of, you know, facade of trying to make ourselves look better. Listen to this one. Senior goddess. So senior goddess, 50s, active, with youthful look and mindset, slim, attractive, loves creativity, culture, beauty, loyalty, integrity, and Pink Floyd. Look at this, guys. This is one of the ones from the guys. The stray cats. Stray cat. Six kitten, tall, nice, looking professional, 33, blonde and green. I'm guessing that's hair and eyes. And not the opposite way, okay. Six attractive professional kitten to keep me out of the alley. Now, this is the one I really like right here. This guy describing himself, you know, handsome, caring, passionate, easygoing, emotionally secure, financially stable, well-educated, fun-loving, sensuous. Nobody's that good. I mean, you show up with this guy, and he's probably, you know, 4'6". I mean, you know, come on. Working at Dairy Queen somewhere, thinking he's got his resume built up, you know. Now, there's nothing wrong working at Dairy Queen, but you know what I'm talking about. I mean, we are so much in society of building ourselves up as this is who we are. This is the perfect mate. This is who I got to make myself to be. Come on. Nobody's like this. You know, guys, we're lucky to have one of these attributes. I never met one guy that had all those things going for him, okay? It's a work in progress, guys. And how many guys know what I'm talking about, okay? It's a work in progress. I'm asking the wrong crowd. How many women know it's a work in progress, okay? Okay. All right. But we had this thing, you know. For once, I like to read an ad that said, old, bald, and ugly. But I'm lovable, you know. Why don't we just say it out there, you know. Hey, this is who I am. Pear-shaped, you know. Let's just do that and talk about it. We don't see that. But, well, that will never attract anybody, so I've got to be a facade. This is who I am. And so society, you know what I'm talking about. What I'm proving is society teaches us to put this mask on. This is who I really am. And, you know, I can't show who I really am because that won't attract anybody. That won't get me hired. That won't make me likable. That won't make me a popular person. That won't get me the job. And so we are automatically, from the time we're very young at age, we are automatically doing things a certain way to try to put on this mask of who we really are, trying to fit into the way society has made us to be. And so how do we combat that? The first key to combating this is to walk in God's light. To walk in God's light. 1 John 1:7 says this, if we live in the light, as God is in the light, then we can share fellowship with each other. Wow. If we live in the light, as God is in the light, then we can share fellowship with each other. And that's the exact opposite of what the world teaches. The world teaches that intimacy happens in the dark, doesn't it? The world teaches that real intimacy happens in the dark, where we can hide our flaws, or we can hide who we really are. But Scripture says that really, the real intimacy takes place right here as we live in the light, as God is in the light. We can share fellowship with each other. That God has called me to live in the light. And you know what? You ever been in those bathrooms that have the lights all around the mirror? You know, it's got like 50 light bulbs. I'm thinking, how many light bulbs do we need around this mirror? But yet, you know, they got this tons of light bulbs because you need it to see as you're getting ready, ladies, right? You need to expose what. But you know what? We don't look very good in those lights, do we? Because when you have all those bright lights, it exposes every little crack and nanny that's happening in your face. It exposes every little hair coming out your ears and nose, guys. It exposes all these things that we don't like to see. So when I get into the light, I'm going to be exposed. When I get into the light, I'm going to expose who I really am. But that's okay. Because that's where God wants me to be. Because my security is not in what the mirror says I am. My security is in who God says I am. And so getting to a place of maturity and taking off the mask and saying, God, I am secure in who you are. Ephesians 5:13 says, when things are brought out into the light, then their true nature is clearly revealed. Wow. We got to be real. We got to reveal who we are. 2 Corinthians 4:2 says, we refuse to wear masks and play games. Rather, we keep everything we do and say out in the open, the whole truth on display so that those who want can see. That's living a life. It's real right there. That we're open with God and we're open with the people around us that we can be open with and our small group of friends, the people who are challenged to be better. I can say, this is me. This is what I'm suffering with. Get involved in those places. Allow people to see you be open. And what's the other fear we got to mess with today? The other fears that keep us from getting involved in the way God has us in relationships is beneath the fear. It's a deeper fear of rejection. We're fearful of being rejected. Proverbs 29:25 says it like this, the fear of human opinion disables. I tell you what, when you live your life in fear of rejection, it will paralyze you. When you live your life in fear of what others think, it will paralyze you. And so this is why our mindset's got to change to being real and saying, you know what, I care more about what God thinks than I do what people think. Because when I care what people think, then it paralyzes me. It stops me from being the person I am. And so I learned a long time ago, and I tell you, it'll set you free, that when I say, God, I'm more worried about what God thinks about me than somebody else. And when I begin to live my life with an audience of one, it will change who you are. God, take off the mask. This is who I am. And so, you know what? Sometimes around pastors, I like getting around pastors because so many of them come with this mask on. And I just come in with my mask off. Say, hey, this is me. This is who I am. They're like, and you're a pastor? Yeah, I'm a pastor. Because you know what? God hasn't called me. It's because I'm a pastor not to put on a mask. It's because I'm a pastor. I mean, I put on this mask. Oh, bless God. Hallelujah. I've got it all together. No, I don't have it all together. I've come a long ways. I've come a long ways, baby. And I'm going. I'm still going. God's still working on me. And I'm still getting it together as I learn to reveal who I am. And say, God, this is me. This is my insecurities. I mean, we live in fears. I mean, pastors live in fears too. I mean, I'm worried about last night. It was raining. God, I hope, you know, I'm fearful. God, don't let the weather freeze up. I don't want church to have to be canceled this morning. You know, we have things we live with every day that, you know, we all have fears. And, you know, we've got to learn to address those fears in our life. And fear of rejection is such a thing that keeps us from wearing that mask. We're afraid if people see the real me, they won't accept it. If people see the real person, they will reject it. And so that fear will constantly drive us to be a person we're not. But the last part of that verse is, but trusting in God protects you from that. Trusting in God protects you from that. What an awesome promise that goes along with the reality of the fear. That if the fear of human opinion disables me, it paralyzes me, but trusting in God protects me from that. I mean, that's enough right there this morning to preach right there all morning long. That, you know what, when I allow the fear of what people think about me paralyze me, if I begin to use my giftings, if I begin to expose my addiction, if I expose things I'm dealing with, that I have problems with my marriage and my marriage isn't perfect, if I expose that, you know what, I didn't have a great childhood growing up and I went through some abuse in my life and I'm still working through that, if I expose that, you know what, I have a hard time with finances and I need somebody to help me, if I expose some things in my life that I'm going through, people may not like me. And I say that nobody's, you know, that people aren't going to like you no matter what you do. So why not be open with people who love you and care about you, who want to see you grow? Be open with Christ, first of all, and saying, God, this is who I am. I need your help in these areas. God, I am suffering with things in my life, and I've got to let some things go. This is who I am. And as I do it with God, first of all, and then I can learn to open up with people that I'm getting close to and saying, this is my warts, man. This is who I really am. I know I look like marble. I know I look like I got it together. I know, look, my price tag's pretty high, but if you really see who I really am, I'm just styrofoam with a little bit of glaze on. But you know what? I'm okay. I'm okay with it because God is changing me. God is reforming me. I am clay in the potter's hands. And no matter how cracked your pot may be, that God can take that pot and he can reshape it. He can reform it. How many are so glad he didn't throw away the clay when he came to you? That he continues to reform me and to fashion me into his likeness. And so taking off the mask and saying, God, I'm not fearful, but God, this is who I really am. It takes you to a place of living in freedom. Some of you are so bound. You say, I wonder why I'm so bound with things in my life. Some of you feel spiritually like you just never get over the hump in your life. Some of you feel like spiritually you're just some a mountain. You just seem can't to climb or get past some certain things. Maybe some certain addictions in your life or certain things, failures seem to continue to hold you back in the same area. And I say until you come, first of all, with God and admit it, and then second of all, admit it to somebody else, it's going to keep you bound. And so you got to learn to take off that mask and say, this is who I am. This is some things I struggle with, and I need your help. I need your help helping me pray, and I need your help encouraging me and keeping me accountable. And I just got to be honest. Now, listen, that doesn't happen overnight. I know that. I know you're not going to find the first Joe Blow you come to today and say, this is me, this is everything I am. But you're going to find people you get close to, people you trust that they know they're going to pray with you. They know they're not going to take everything you say and run and talk to somebody else, but they're genuinely going to care for you, and they're going to love you and accept you no matter what you say to them. And they're going to tell you things about themselves that you didn't know. And together you're going to pray for each other, and you're going to strengthen each other. And then together you can get over, through God's help, get over some of those things you've been struggling for a long time in your life. Because you're taking off the mask, being real. So how do we get past this part? This key to building this fear of rejection is, first of all, is to trust in God's love. Trust in God's love. Getting past this is trusting in the love of God. Because I know this, that people will fail me. People will love me and then hate me. People will think I'm the flavor of the week and then I'm gone. People will think I got it all together and then disappointed me. But God's love will never fail. God's love will never forsake me or will never leave me. God will always be there. He loves me unconditionally. In spite of my warts, in spite of my cracks, in spite of who I really am, in spite of the person behind the mask, God genuinely, wholeheartedly loves you. And he loves me. And he's proved it by the cross that he gave his life that while I was still a sinner, Christ, you died for me. That while I still had my warts, that Christ, you gave your life for me. That even though you know that I would disappoint you, you did not disappoint me. Even though I ran from you, you ran to me. He loves me that much. And if there's one person that I can take my mask off to and I know will never reject me, it's Jesus Christ. That we serve that kind of God, that I can take my mask off and say, God, this is me. And he says, it's about time. I've known it. I created you. I loved you. And I still do. We're going to work on it together. And these are things that God has continued to fashion me in his image. The Bible says in Daniel 10:19, "Don't be afraid, for you are deeply loved by God." What an awesome verse. Don't be afraid. Some of you need to hear that. Rejecting the fear. Don't be fearful, for you are deeply loved by God. Be at peace. Take heart and be strong. Psalms 56:11 says, "I trust in God, so I will not be afraid. What can people do to me?" I mean, you look at the scriptures and promises and says, you know, it doesn't make a difference if people reject the real me. It doesn't make a difference if I take off the mask and someone doesn't like it, because God loves me unconditionally. What can people really do to me as long as God loves me? Because they don't decide my future. My future is not wrapped up in what people do. My future is wrapped up in who God is. All right, that's going to preach this morning. Quit being phony. Quit living in fear of rejection. Allow God to work in our life. And the last fear I think we really deal with is this fear of being hurt again. This fear of being hurt again. And the fear of being hurt again keeps us from being real. We're afraid that I'm going to be hurt again because I've been hurt so many times in my life. Whether it be through a family situation or maybe an ex-spouse or maybe someone who's close to you. Something has happened that they hurt you. And so I know this, that the more we are hurt, the more we say, "I'll never allow anybody to hurt me again." That's a very natural thing. And so we say, the more I'm hurt, then you know what? The more friends that hurt me, the less friends I'm gonna get. The more I'm open and I've been hurt, then, and I say to you, that's such a wrong attitude that we have, but it's such a natural one. And so it's what we got to combat, that I've got to get over the fear of being hurt again. Well, I'm afraid if I love wholeheartedly again, some of you are not loving your spouse you have now because the next spouse treated you really bad. And that's not fair to them. Some of you here today have a hard time loving your children the way they need to be loved because your parents didn't love you the right way. Some of you here today have a hard time getting close to a friend because some friend in your life stabbed you in the back or left you or disappointed you or rejected you or hurt you really bad. And I say to you, welcome to the human race. We've all been hurt. We've all been rejected. We've all had things that really hurt. And do I allow those fears to keep me paralyzed? Or do I allow to work through that fear and say, "God, you're bigger than this fear. God, you've got the right friends for me. God, you got the right relationships for me. And I'm going to put my trust in who you are. I'm not going to allow my fear to paralyze me any longer." Does it mean you'll never get hurt again? Nope. Because we're human. And we're going to hurt each other at times, intentionally or unintentionally. Things are going to happen that shouldn't happen. That's a part of life. And so I'm going to get hurt. The question is not, "Well, I got hurt." The question is, how will you respond when you're hurt? And as a Christian, my response is, you know what? I may get hurt, but you know what? It's okay, because God is in control. And when I get hurt, he's going to hold me. He's going to sustain me. And God's going to bring the right people to help me get through my hurt. God's going to have the right person, the right people in place to help me walk through this time of being hurt. Don't be afraid to open up again just because you've been hurt. Allow God to do the healthy thing in your life. So some of you today, we've got to take off that mask and that fear of being hurt again and allow God to do what he wants to do in our life. Ecclesiastes 5:17 says, all they get are days full of sadness and sorrow, and they end up sick, defeated, and angry. Wow. Psalm 73:21 says, "My heart grew embittered and my affections dried up." This is what happens to people who hold on to hurt in their life. You grow embittered, you get bitter, and your affections dry up. Your emotions dry up, and you can't love the way you should. You can't minister the way you should because you've allowed your heart to dry up, because you allowed that embitterment of hurt to paralyze you. And you find yourself all your days full of sadness, depressed, and sorrow. You find yourself end up sick all the time, defeated, and angry because of something that happened 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 2 years ago. Is it really worth living your life defeated, angry, sorrow, sad, sickness? No. I've got to learn to forgive some things in my life, even if it wasn't your fault, even if that person hasn't asked for forgiveness. I'm learning to forgive them and move beyond. Say, God, my security is not in that person hurting me. My security is in who you are. I don't care about other people's opinion of me, God. I care about what you think about me. And you say, I'm lovely. Isn't that awesome? God today's down. God's got a big microphone today. He's looking down and going, isn't he lovely? God's singing our theme song all day today. Aren't you lovely? When you look in the mirror today, say, look in the mirror and say, God thinks I'm lovely. I dare you look in the mirror and say, yeah, what a handsome man today. God loves me. Look in the mirror and say, what a beautiful woman today. God loves me. And you know what? No matter what other people may say about me, God, you love me. What a secure place to be in relationships with God. So how do we get past this part of our life? What's the key to getting past the hurt? That's the last key I'm going to give you here. Is get a new heart. Get a new heart. Ezekiel 36:26. I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will remove your heart of stone. Wow. Today, let me tell you this. We serve a God who's the best heart surgeon ever known. That when our God does heart surgery, he doesn't leave a scar. That our God can do heart surgery if we'll disallow ourselves to climb on the operating table and say, God, here's my heart. Create in me a clean heart, oh God. Renew in me a right spirit. God, change who I am. God, I am tired of being bound by my hurt and rejection, paralyzed by past hurts, paralyzed of what people may think about me. It's time for me to take off that mask, rip it off. God, this is who I am. And God, you take my heart and you create a new heart. No longer do I need to quit living my life to please man, but may I live my life to please you. Titus 3:3 says, Paul says this, once our lives were full of resentment, we hated others and they hated us. But when the time came for kindness and love of God, our Savior, to appear, then he saved us, not because we were good enough to be saved, but because of his kindness by washing away our sins and giving us a new joy that comes from a new heart. God wants to give you a new joy today. God wants you to take off that mask today, and he wants you to walk in him in a security that you have not been before. We serve a real God. Let me say again, we serve a real God, and he wants us to be real. He wants me to be honest, and today I'm going to ask our servers to come forward. We're going to take communion this morning as we close out. And I thought this morning that what a perfect time to take communion. And as we get ready to take communion this morning, I want you to say to yourself today, Father, we take communion and remember the covenant that he made with us of giving of his life for us, shedding of the blood to wash away our sins. And as we take of the table today, I want us to remember that, God, I'm making a covenant with you. I want you to say in your heart, I'm making a covenant with you that I'm going to be real. I'm not going to quit worrying about what everybody else thinks of me, and I'm going to start living my life based on what you think of me. I want to find my security in what you say I am and who you say I am, and quit trying to find my security in the kind of house I have, the kind of car I drive, my accomplishments. Quit trying to find security in what people think about me. And God, I want to find my security in who you are today. And when we take the table today, I'm going to ask you to get out of your seat and to come forward and take these elements, go back. We'll pray over them together, receive them together after everybody's received their elements today. But I want you to make that covenant to God today that, you know what, God? I'm making a covenant that I'm going to be real. I'm taking off a mask. I'm going to invite you to stand with me today. If you're here in the middle section, just kind of see an imaginary line right here. This side, I'm going to ask you to go to the side. This side, I'm going to ask you to go over here. But come down this middle aisle right here, receive your elements, and go back up the other side. Go back into your seat. We'll close out as we take these together and pray together. But come, receive the elements today. Stephanie, go ahead. The bread. I want you to hold your bread up, I guess. This bread represents the body of Christ, which was beaten, bruised, nailed to a cross for us today. This is what I want you to do today. This is what I feel in my heart today. So I'm talking about being real, especially to the ladies today. This is what I'm going to ask you. I want you to realize today that this body represents some fears in our life. Some of you today have wore this mask because of maybe you feel like you don't live up to your body being a certain way. Maybe you lived in fear of saying, I don't look a certain way. I don't fit in a certain way. I've allowed society to tell me what true beauty is. And today, I want to accept Christ's body, saying, as I accept his body, I'm becoming more comfortable in who I am. that I am more worried about what God thinks about me. And God says, I am beautiful. God says, I am perfect. God says, you know what? I created you. I loved you. And so I'm going to ask today, if you had those problems in your life, those insecurities and maybe the way you look, and you've allowed those insecurities to keep you paralyzed from maybe doing something for God or just getting beyond where you're at because you've allowed what people think about you to keep you bound because of the way you look or your body today, as you take of the body of Christ, I want you to realize you are free from that today. You're free from that. And as you take of that, say, God, I'm going to learn to see my body the way you see me. So, Father, today, we bless this body today, God. We bless this bread. We do it as we come today, Lord, according to your scripture. Jesus, you taught us, Lord, to take of your table in remembrance of you. And we thank you, God, that you gave your body up for me, that you were nailed to a cross for me. You took stripes on your back for me. And God, may I not be bound to an image by society. May a TV, may peer pressure, may anything that comes against me keep me bound, Lord, in fear. But may I take off a mask today and say, I'm okay because, God, you love me. You formed me. You fashioned me. And I accept your love today. No longer will I live in fear of what people think of me in my image. But, God, I am to be taken of your body, which changes who I am in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's take it together. He said, likewise, in the same manner we take of the cup, the juice which represents the blood of Jesus, which was there to forgive us of our sins. As we take of the cup today, remembering that any hurt that we have, any warts we may have, anything that doesn't look like it's all together, when it's exposed to the light, that's okay because we have the blood of Jesus. That my warts can be cleansed through the blood of Jesus. That my shortcomings are okay because I have the blood of Jesus, which covers a multitude of sins. And that today, even though I have things in my life that maybe I'm not proud of, some really bad failures in my life, that I can take that mask off because as I have accepted Jesus Christ and asked for forgiveness of my sins, I can walk a new creation in Him. I don't have to live chained to my past. I don't have to live a slave to the person I used to be, but I can walk in the light because He has made me new. Created me a new heart, oh God. Created me a new spirit. As we take of the cup today, remember that He has made you a new creation. Father, we thank you for the cup today, which represents your body, your blood, which was given for us. Your blood, which was sacrificed on the cross for the remission, the forgiveness of sins. No other blood had this power except for the blood of our Savior. And Father, today we thank you, Lord, that you gave your life willingly for us. No matter what we've done, no matter how we look, Father, you gave your life for us because you loved us. So while I was yet in sin, you died for me. And I received your cup today. And I thank you that your blood washes away my sins. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. Let's take together. Let's thank Him now together. Father, we thank you, Jesus. We thank you, God, that you are allowing us to take off our mask. You're allowing us, God, to be real with you. It starts right there, God, being authentic, Lord, being real. But saying, God, this is who I really am. Help us to spiritually take off our mask today and to walk in the new light in who you are. May we be set free, God, from opinion of other people. May we be set free of fear of rejection. May we be set free, God, of fear of being hurt again. God, may we learn to trust in you and give you our whole heart and walk fresh and anew with you, trusting other people. Help us to open up our heart again, to grow close to people, Lord, that we can minister to others and they in return can minister to us as well. Father, we bless your name together. Come on, let's sing us through one more time, Stephanie, lead us. Come on, let's spend some time with him this morning. Sealing your covenant with him.
I want to sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe, feel your heart beat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I melt in your peace, so overwhelming. the more I love you. I wanna sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe, feel your heartbeat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I melt in your peace, it's overwhelming. I wanna sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe, feel your heart beat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I melt in your peace, it's overwhelming. Oh, your love is overwhelming me. And oh, my love, your love is overwhelming me. Cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe, feel your heart beat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I melt in your peace.
Amen. Let's take them off, okay? When we spiritually just close the service by doing this right here, can you just reach up and get a, just pretend you got an invisible mask on today. Can you do that? Just say, God, I'm taking it off today. I'm going to be free. Because who the Son is set free is free indeed. God bless you today. Listen, it starts tonight. It starts tonight. Be involved in the group. Amen. God bless you. Get involved in the group. Hey, this Wednesday night, let me tell you this Wednesday night, Fred Williams is going to be preaching in the house, so don't miss it, okay? If you can be here this Wednesday night, Fred, raise your hand. He's in the very back there. Your Fred's going to be preaching this Wednesday night. Be here, support that, and you'll be blessed of God. Amen. God bless you.